Thank you so much. It's good to be back from Canada, eh? But I want to give you a little report. I don't know how much of the teaching will be involved in this, maybe quite a bit. There's been quite a bit of traveling this year. Now, the church that I went to is a small church in Oshawa, Canada. Oshawa is about an hour of Toronto. It's right close to the Lake Ontario. And beautiful area, really. And they have, I know Donner's been there to the same church. Now, that's a trial all in itself. See, whenever you follow behind Donner, you better have something. You better have the word. You better have some demonstration of the power and spirit. They're not used to church as normal. So, you got to be not normal to follow Donner. Anyway. But I'll tell you one thing. It's a small world we live in. It's 1,400 miles there, and we just got back from a 1,400 mile. It's almost the same miles down to Immokalee, Florida. Almost identical. Of course, we drove to Immokalee, and it takes 3 days, you know. I left Tulsa. The plane lifted off at 10 in the morning, and I was there at 2:30 in the afternoon. And that's with an hour layover in Chicago. I said, my goodness, what would the Apostle Paul say? You guys don't have the whole world won yet? What's the matter with you? You know, he had to walk, go by ship, go through shipwrecks and everything else, you know, just to make it from Israel to Rome. And my goodness, we've got it good. It's amazing. Open up to John 14. I guess we're going to work in some teaching with this testimony. You know, it's one. I love the prayer center. I love to be here. This is my favorite place. It's home. I love the teaching that's here. I can't wait to get a chance to catch up on everything that was taught while I was gone. But see, there's a time to build up. There's a time to refresh. There's a time to get strong. And then there's a time to go ye. We're still go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, you know. Some, like evangelists, they go ye and preach where Christ has never been proclaimed. And very often people hear the gospel for the first time through the evangelist. You know, when God sends a teacher, see, my job begins where the evangelist ends. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul plainly says that until you've been born again, you have no capacity to be taught the things of the Spirit of God. He says, now you've received not the spirit of the world, that's the Adamic spirit that we all receive when we're first born from our mother's womb. He says, but now you have received the spirit which is of God. And they do it correctly in that verse. They have a little S because it's talking about your new nature. But he says, now that you have that spirit which is of God, you can know the things that are freely given by God. He says, these things are not mentally discerned, but they are spiritually discerned. Okay? So when I go, when God sends a teacher, it's primarily to people that are already born again. And my job, if they're not schooled in this message, then normally my job there, if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you gotta monitor where you are and listen for his voice to see where to even start. Well, boy, he had me go way back. We went back to the days of Michael Muccio and his little red opal car, and you know, how do you follow God? And went quite a ways back. But he had a reason for that. I'm just going to give you a few examples. Now, just because you're a teacher, that does not... See, these signs shall follow the evangelist only. These signs shall follow the apostle only. Now, these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, and so forth. So, like Dave says, it's not good enough to just teach. You got to also be able to demonstrate. Well, so the very first service that we're there. Oh, yes, sir. Okay. All right. Okay. See, okay, I said John 14. He actually wants me to read the verse. Well, here's the verse, verse 12. I mean, you guys could probably quote it without looking at it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works, really that works is italicized, greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. But he just got through telling them in that same passage he's about to leave the planet. And now I'm not going to go through all that again. I've taught that so many times here. He's talking about the change in leadership that they were about to experience. Up until this point, they have followed Jesus for 3.5 years. They have been doing signs and wonders. He's commissioned them and sent them out to go unto the cities, and they were commissioned to heal the sick and cast out devils. I mean, these fellows had the bread and the fish multiply in their own hands. Remember, as they fed the 5,000? I mean, they have seen miracles. But he was always there or close by, or he commissioned them. Now he says, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And I can't imagine what that was going through their mind. Or, you know, your first thought, is this over? You're leaving the planet? How in the world are we supposed to follow you now? And he begins introducing the other comforter, the Holy Spirit. It took me years of assimilating and meditating these chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, praying in the Holy Ghost, for I finally really understood what he was talking about. He wasn't, even though he's introducing another comforter, this Holy Spirit that is coming is not coming to replace him as Lord. The Holy Spirit is coming to bring them his lordship. And that's what he means a little later here when he says over to chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. You look it up in almost any other translation, and they give it, he's not going to speak on his own authority. He's not speaking, he's not coming to speak and be Lord. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. Well, finally, I got it after I don't know how many times, trips through there. What are you saying? The Holy Spirit's not come to replace me. He's not coming to take authority and speak to you in his own authority. No, what he hears, that's what he's going to say to you. And I finally got it. I mean, the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father, God the Son. Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Holy Spirit is all-knowing. So he's at every instant, he is with the Father, with the Son in heaven, and he's at that same instant with every believer on planet Earth. You know, when Peter, James, and John, the reason they have to know how this is going to work up until this transition happened, they'd get their instruction directly from the lips of Jesus, from his physical lips to their physical ear. What do you want us to do today? Well, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And there was no doubt he was Lord, and they were happy to do that. I used to be jealous of them. I said, that's not fair. Because until we started coming to this church, to be honest with you, I felt kind of like an orphan. Do y'all ever pray and the silence was deafening? Boy, I have, you know, and you want me to do this, you want me to do that. And first 12 years, I mean, I just got to tell you, you know, we did the best we could, but it was kind of like a scattershot, you know. Different things become available. I mean, I was worship leader in a church for a while because I was the only one that could play any kind of an instrument. I could strum a few chords on a guitar. And those of you that know me know I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But that's what was needing done, and I could play a few chords, and they said, oh, you're a worship leader. Well, he says you can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. So, that is okay. We did a lot of things like that. We kind of took over Michael's prison ministry. I didn't ever hear the Lord tell me to do that, but it was what to do when it was time for Michael to move to another state. So we got involved, and I was already going anyway. I knew everybody there. So we kept that on for a while. Well, now, y'all have heard me say all this before, but it was kind of like a scattershot. You take all of these things you're doing, you throw it against the wall and hope some of it sticks, you know. You hope some of it's his will. And it's all his will, but some of it is way out on the edge. See, I found out later after doing this message that I wasn't called to be a pastor. Had I not ever attended here and learned to do what we do here, I probably would have wound up being a pastor. Just my temperament, and plus the way I grew up, the denomination I grew up in, I had a vision. There's only really two things left, you know. That's pastor, missionary. Oh, Sunday school teacher. They have that. That's it. I didn't want to teach Sunday school, so I didn't really want to be a missionary, be a pastor. Well, what I'm saying is this. There is a leadership that comes by the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for this place. Now, when Sue and I used to travel, we used to travel a lot. I mean, we traveled all over USA, and then he started taking us overseas. You know, been to Europe, been to Africa, went to South Korea 6 years in a row. I saw miracles. I saw things happen. I've seen miracles here, haven't you? Have we seen all that we want to see? You know, there's cases that come and they leave the same way they came, and that is not the Lord's will. That is not His will. Well, when we used to travel, there'd be some things happen. But then the Lord, He had us come off the road for the most part. In 2004, we haven't hardly done any traveling. And so what he said, let my voice travel while I helped my family here. You know, most of you know I went through a time with my dad and my mom needed me here. And so he said, let your voice travel, you stay here. That's what we've done. But I've continued to do the message. So now he's sending us back out a little bit. And I'm going, now, Lord, if this works, I should be more mature now. I should be more transformed now. How do you want to say it? More metamorphosed now than I was then. Lord, when I pray out there, I expect to see things happen. And if I don't, I need to go to the woodshed and you tell me why not. Fair enough. Because if I don't see them happen, I'm going to stay here and let my voice travel again. Just be honest with you. See, I can teach. But why go if the voice, if the same lesson goes, you know, when you send it, then why go? If there's no power. So I said, well. So I told you a little report about our first trip down to Florida. And we saw things happen. We saw that young man the very first night get delivered from what his parents called a zombie-like state. You remember that? Then we saw this father and son get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they said they'd been prayed for so many times in church that they'd forgot how many times. And they never did speak with tongues. Well, they were praying a house of fire. So we saw that. When we go down to Bronx Church and his own son-in-law, the very first service comes up, says, I got to have this Holy Ghost. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost. So we were seeing things happen. But now, on this trip up to Oshawa, it's a small church. This is about the third time I've heard him say this. You're not qualified to go till you get delivered from money. Is that plain enough for you? You're just flat not qualified to go. If it's like, this is a little bit, how many people you got there? Oh, we got about 20. First thought you have, you know, everybody's human. We all got bills to pay. Donner, you got bills to pay? I got bills to pay. Okay? 20 people. Okay? They were asking me. They're sweethearts. I love these. They're just, to me, they're kids. Pastor and his wife, about 36, you know. My cereal bowl at home is older than that. See, I'm not exaggerating. I had it when Sue and I got married 36 years ago. So I'm not exaggerating. My cereal bowl is older than them. And they're just as sweet as they can be. And they got a small church. So they were asking me in the beginning, now, how does this work? I don't remember how they actually asked me. It was something like, now, do you get here yourself? I don't remember. So I could tell. So I said, hey, you know, the way the Lord had us do it, we're paying. I get my own ticket. On this one, we had just got back off a long trip. Sue didn't really want to go on this one. She'll go next time, probably. I said, look, I'll get my own airline ticket. I'll stay at a motel. We pay all our own expenses. If you take up an offering for us, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine, too. I got a rich daddy. I don't really have a need of any offerings. No, it doesn't matter to me at all. See, you got to get like that. Otherwise, you're going to be under pressure. It's good to be free from pressure. It's good to be owned. I know I'm a father's son. You know, I'm an heir. But my life is not my own. I am owned. You know, it's not my responsibility. My responsibility is pray and go where He sends me, you know. If He says go, I'm going. It doesn't matter. So you could just almost hear the relief coming from through the phone. Oh, that's good. Okay. They said, now we have a room that you could stay in if you'd like. And I said, well, sure. So we saved, you know. And gosh, they put me up really nice. I was sending pictures back of how nice it was, you know. And Tim, I sent him copies. He sent me a verse back of Paul's. In, you know, shipwrecks. here I've got a queen size double bed and air conditioning. I've got my own little suite down in the basement of this house. I got a couch and two couches actually, and my own private bathroom. I didn't have to share with anybody. I mean, so he's going, this doesn't sound, you know, you're going to have to apologize to Paul when you get to heaven. Now, just so you know, I don't want to forget to tell you this, see, it wouldn't have mattered to me if there had been no offering or if we'd have come back with $10. But I'll tell you right now, even there, you know, we come back with way more money than it costs to go. Your Lord is faithful. And I'll tell you right now, if he hadn't have done it that way, he would have done it some other way. See, it's good to be owned. You got to be free of money. Just serve him. Pray until you find out. You want me to go? You not want me to go? You want me to go? We're going. Wonderful. So anyhow, we get there and we go to this, go to the church. The very first person I meet at the church is a lady named Rita. And you know, you ever meet? And she's probably, gosh, I better not miss her age. She might listen to this tape. She's probably middle aged. I'm sorry, Rita. But you ever meet somebody, and she's probably, I'm guessing, I don't know, 48, maybe, guessing. I don't really know. I may be in real trouble now. But anyway, you ever meet somebody and they've been in pain a long time? You can see it in their eyes. And you can tell if they're hurting right now. She had a cane. She was actually sitting down. I didn't notice the cane when I first saw her. But when the first time she looked in my eyes, I knew. This lady is in pain, and she's been in pain a long time. When she spoke, well, her pastors use the word, when she talks, it's weepy. Do you know weepy? It's, she's hurting. She's been hurting for, what, come to find out, I didn't know it then, but she was in a car wreck 2 years ago, a bad one, and it messed up her spine really bad. And they had to put in screws and pins and all kinds of things, you know. And so she can walk, but she walks with a cane. But now the pain kept getting worse for these last 2 years, to the point now she wasn't even driving. She has a car and she's licensed, but it was too painful to even drive. So somebody else had to pick her up. Well, I didn't hear the Lord say anything. I just got to know her and hello, how you doing? Getting ready for the service. And she just sat there and time for the service, you know, we did the worship and the service began and I taught like I always do. And of course at the end, we opened it up for prayer. Well, she's the first one to come up there. Let's say, I can either say she's tall or I'm short. But the difference between us was so much, I asked her to sit in a chair. And I said, what do you want from the Lord? And she says, well, in that weepy voice and that pain eyes, I hope I can convey now. This is a woman in pain. But she said, whatever the Lord wants to give me. Which I like that, you know, it's a humble attitude, you know. And I said, well, tell me about this cane. I didn't know yet about it. And so she told me what I just told you, that she was in a car wreck 2 years ago and they put all these pins and screws in her back, but it enabled her to walk, but the pain has just been unbearable, getting worse all the time. Said, I'm just never without pain. And they had her on some pretty heavy pain medication and she had already come off of that. She says, I'm not going to become an addict too, you know. So what do you do, church? I said, well, let me pray about that. And I told her a little bit about my experience. I had such back pain a few years ago and I couldn't stand up straight, and just to encourage her a little bit. Now, we're teaching tonight because you guys are going to be go ye yourself, okay? And I don't care whether what your gift is. You may be a teacher, you may be an evangelist, you may be a prophet, you may be, I don't care if you're in helps and administrations. When you pray for the sick, they're supposed to recover. Amen? Expect it. Well, I'm expecting. In fact, I've kind of got it out to the Lord. If stuff don't happen, I'm just going to stay here and send my voice. You know? I got grandbabies to watch grow. Anyway. So I just pray for her. Now, I have had times when I've prayed for people and you can feel that anointing flow. I mean, I've had that. You know, Jesus said he could feel virtue going out of him. I've had that. Where you've seen me here sometimes. I go, there's something on me. Like, you know, it feels like it's oil when it's on you and you pray. You can just feel it. I've got to tell you, when I prayed for Rita, I don't feel nothing. It's kind of like laying a dead fish on a doorknob. There's just no excitement whatsoever. I mean, it's just cold and dead and nothing. You know, So, okay, well, in Jesus' name, you just do what you can, and pray, and hallelujah. And then there were some other people, and I went on and prayed with them. She left. I didn't see her anymore that night. And then fast forward to the next service, the next evening. These are all night services. The next evening, she's sitting there right where she was the night before. When she looked at me, her countenance, is that the right word? Her countenance was completely changed. I did not see that pained look, and when she spoke, it was not weepy. She stood up. Now, she had the cane, but she was just holding the cane. She said, by the way, I drove here tonight. So the pastor had her. I mean, they're looking. They're going like, we've known this lady for years. We knew her before the accident. We've known her since. And he says, you got to give up. You got to stand up and give your testimony. So now this is what she felt. See, don't ever go by what you felt. She says, when I prayed for her, and this is all the glory to the Lord. I do not have a 1 ounce of healing capability myself. It's the Lord. You got that? I'm trying to give her a report. Is this working or is this not working? I'm seeing more happen this time than I did before. It is working. What she felt, she says, when that Gary guy, when he prayed for me, she said, I was sitting in that chair and I could feel electricity running up and down my spine. And it just kept doing it. And it just kept doing it. And it just, she said, I went to bed that night and it was still doing it. I didn't know if I was going to be able to sleep or not. I just could feel that. It was just, it was tingly. It wasn't painful, but it was strong. Like I could feel it running up and down. I finally went to sleep and I woke up this morning. All I can tell you is there's no pain. Well, she says, well, I got to take that back. There is a little bit. Because I'm walking straight and not using my cane, and so there's muscles I'm using all day that I haven't used in years, and they're sore. My muscles are sore. Is that great or what? You know what he had me say to her? And it's the absolute truth. He said, after she gave that testimony, I said, Rita, God would have sent me to Oshawa just for you. If the only thing that would happen, I come, I pray for you, and you receive what you receive, and I got right back on the plane and headed home, that was a good trip. Isn't that right? What if it was your daughter? Wouldn't you pay to have somebody go and get her healed? Well, anyway, she just kept coming and kept, you know, she said, I brought the cane just in case. I love the honesty. The next night, or the rest of the services, she didn't even bring the cane. She drove herself every time. And not weepy anymore. I didn't see that pain look in her eyes anymore. Well, that's one. Hallelujah. The second one, I need to tell you about this one. This is a different kind of healing. And this fellow didn't come till the last day. I did 5 services starting Wednesday night, and the last one was Sunday morning. He didn't come till Sunday morning. And nobody had ever seen him before. Now, he's probably about 48 also. I have a 48 anointing, I guess. I don't know. And clean cut fella. You ever meet somebody you just know they're called? You don't know how you know, but you know this guy's got a real strong calling. In fact, if I'd have been a betting man, which I'm not, well, I used to be, but I'm not now, I would have almost wagered this guy has probably already been in ministry. He just has that. You just have that knowing. He come up after the service to talk with me, and what that message that morning was different. All of the rest of them leading up till that morning had to do with the leadership of the Holy Ghost and things that we teach here a lot. Acts 16 about, no, it's not His will to go into Asia. It's not His will to go to Bithynia, go to Macedonia. You know, finding His real leadership and pray, and how praying in tongues has a lot to do with that. But Sunday morning, the Lord had me deliver that message that I've done here once or twice about the vision of revival, where we go through Matthew. In fact, here's the same. I wrote down the verses again. We go through just the book of Matthew, so we know we're not duplicating the same event twice. And I give you those places where Jesus healed them all. If you want to write those down, if any of you have never heard that message, it's called The Vision of Revival. I taught it in Florida, too. It's already in. By the way, we have a new section at GaryCarpenter.org called On the Road. He's never had me do that before. But he said, this year, do it. So we've already got the Florida teachings there. These will be there within a week or so. On the road. It's in the media section. These verses, these are 5 different revivals. These are five different meetings that Jesus had. I did them all in Matthew, so you know you're not looking at duplicate meetings, you know, by the... So you can just look them up yourself. Matthew 4:24, Matthew 12:15, Matthew 15:30, Matthew 19:2, Matthew 21:14. And what it does, it takes you, when Jesus has His way. See, one of my biggest prayers now, Michael has this, I told you Michael's lofty prayer. I really like it, but it's just not me. Michael says, God, Michael Muccio, God, I don't want your help today. I want you to do it all. Don't help me. I want you to do it all and help make me be the vessel through whom you can do it. See, the way Gary says that, God, help me get out of your way. That's what I want. I know if He does it, I want Him to be able to do what He wants to do, and I don't want to get in the way. You know? So, these five events here, if you want to see when God the Father has His perfect way in a meeting, this is what you'll find. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, here you've got five separate meetings, and I mean, some of it goes into great detail where they brought the maimed, the blind, those possessed with devils, a lunatic. I especially like the one about maimed. They watched the maimed. Now, maimed means you're missing something. Missing a leg, missing a foot, missing an eye, missing a nose. You're missing something. And it says, during the service, it says, while they watched. Can you imagine if we have CBS, ABC, NBC, and the Fox News Network, and they've got the cameras trained on that person that came in without a leg, and while the world watches, in the name of Jesus, that leg grows out, we in revival. People are going to want to know about your Jesus, and they're going to, if they've got a family member missing something, they're going to be bringing them to those services. See, that's revival. That's the way Jesus did it. So I taught that message. It's the vision of revival. Well, this man that I was telling you about, the one is about 48 years old. He come up to me after the service, and he's already spirit filled, already a tongue talker. By the way, we had quite a few get filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of them got filled. Some had a very, what you'd call, limited prayer language, like one sentence or one phrase. And so we just had a prayer line for anybody like that. You ought to heard the rivers of living waters flowing out of people. You know? Well, anyway, that man came up to me after the service, and just like I thought, I hadn't talked with him at all. He said, I used to be a pastor. In fact, I pastored for 10 years. And then through some kind of, he didn't go into detail, he had a devastation come, got hurt. I got the feeling that it may have affected his family. He didn't really tell me. He says, I've been wandering out in the desert, out in the wilderness spiritually for 5 years. He says, I think today there's been a light bright enough that I can find my way finally out of this wilderness. Because I did talk to him about praying in tongues. Now the Holy Spirit will lead you out, you know. And I said, this is the vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Let's set our mark here. Let's take what Jesus calls revival. Let's set our sights there and go for that. And if we fall even a little bit short, we're still going to be a lot higher than we would have been otherwise. Amen? Well, I'm encouraged. Things are happening. I got to be careful how you say things. I'm experimenting. Is that okay? I'm saying, God, if stuff don't happen, man, I shouldn't be out there anyway, to be honest with you. If stuff isn't happening, I need to go back in here and pray and fast and do the message until stuff is happening. But I'm seeing enough. I'm encouraged. See, I don't think Rita would have got free just necessarily. She could have. God can do anything. So this is why I hesitate to say it. But I think it was God's will for me to go. I think Rita thinks so. I think that minister, I think he thinks so. I think those people that had been stuck in their prayer language for 4 or 5 years, and now they can pray fluently in other tongues, I think they think so. What has to happen? You have to become a vessel for His presence. His presence needs to travel with you, not just knowledge. Amen? The last two messages that I delivered here, I was ready to get out of the country, to be honest with you. They were pretty rough, both of them, you know. Yeah. Well, when Lily runs for destruction, and she's running out to the front, you know, running out the front yard to the street where the traffic is, I'm going to be rough on her too. But it's all love. Okay, so here's what he's without distraction. The very fact that you're still here, you're a champion. Because the enemy has been unleashing some of his best onslaughts in the realm of emotion, in the realm of circumstance, pressure, financial, and health, and mostly discouragement and hopelessness, and launched. If you could really see in the realm of the spirit, it's like a bombardment, like they used to in the old medieval days, how they would bring in those things that threw the big stones against the castle walls. I mean, he's trying to break down the walls of your soul. He's trying to get past your spirit. All the armament that you have. And he's trying to make it to a place in you where you finally say, revival's never coming. Things are never going to change. There's something wrong here. And run you off. And you're still here. So you need to understand right now, you are a survivor. No matter how rough those messages have been. Do you know let's say it this way, you are God's hope in the earth. He's hoping that we continue to do this to where it's not just a few little people at a church, but enough happens when we go out where whole cities get turned upside down. See, one of the things that I saw in Toronto, one of the first things as we was leaving the airport and he was taking me to his house, I saw one of the largest mosques in North America. It's huge. You would not believe the size of this thing. Did you know in Toronto alone there's 700,000 Muslims? They all need Jesus. They all need Jesus. The enemy is making his play for that region. We have got to go with the not just word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And they call that whole region up there a burnover field. What they mean is they all know, they have history of Christianity. And they don't like what they've seen, to be honest with you. And they're all kind of, at this point, not all, but the vast majority that you try and talk with, hey, I know about your Jesus, I don't want any part of it. So that's what you call a burnover field. It's because they've been they're tired of powerless religion. They're tired of scandal-ridden ministers. They're tired of preachers who are more interested in the money than they are the sheep. They're tired of it. And they're at this point, they're so disillusioned, they don't want to hear it. But those same people are struggling in their life. Those same people have crippled children, have blind friends. They have all kinds of problems where the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Those same people, if we could really go to that region anywhere and have meetings like what Jesus had in those five verses that I just gave you, you won't have to come up with better door-knocking campaigns or passing out tract campaigns. You start walking through those streets and preaching Jesus and in His name getting people healed, getting people raised up off of deathbeds, getting the people baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you can really see sinners, like always, flock to Jesus. They always come to. The problem is they can't see enough of Jesus in the church to come to Him. And they've got a belly full of religion. They've got a belly full of greedy preachers. And they got a belly full of it. So what's the cure? Well, the cure, power, I agree. They need to see Jesus. I see my friend over here. We've talked enough. He loves the power of God. I do too. And I love, again, okay, I'm sharing with you some things that I saw up there on that trip. Yes, sir. All right. We'll share the other side of the coin. See, the other side of the coin is one of the brother-in-law of one of the pastors. His daddy's on his deathbed, dying of cancer. Okay? He's full of cancer. I mean full. They're draining off fluid from his stomach at the rate of a couple of gallons an hour. I mean, they're just giving him days. And I've prayed and they prayed. We all got the same answer. This guy's going home. And I could give you a lot of reason for that. But I can also tell you this, that's not God's perfect will. Even though the Lord said He's going home. Because you know, and I know, that if Jesus somehow, Himself, could walk through the wall of that hospital room, that guy's getting off of that bed. Well, we got a ways to go. Now, I've prayed for people and seen results like I'm telling you about. I've prayed for people and they died within the hour. There for a season, quite a few years ago, even I didn't want me praying for anybody. It seemed like I had like five in a row. I prayed for them and they all died. I was going, God, I don't pray for anybody else. And that's what He wants. Because what are we going to do with His verse? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these. So Pastor Dave that time, years ago, I mean this goes way back now. Remember that time he was prayed for that waterhead baby? Y'all remember that? He's told the story many times, so I'm not telling anything out of school. Prayed, used all the faith that he had, used the name of Jesus. Everything that he's ever seen or heard done, he did it in faith, and the baby died. So now, later after that, the Lord's talking to him. He says, now which is it? Is it the case where I have the power to heal that baby, and I just chose not to? Or is it the case where I couldn't find enough in you that I could heal that baby with? Dave says, ow. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Yes, sir. Go to Romans 8. See, the purpose of God, if you can boil it down into one verse, and it's really verse 29. To me, I cannot read one of these verses without starting in verse 26 because it's all connected, see? There's people lifting out verse 28 just say all kinds of things like, you know, car wrecks are good for you. They're not good for you. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That infirmities is everything that's wrong with you. Let's say it another way. Everything in your soul, your emotions, your intellect, that's not like Jesus. Everything in us that's not like Him. Not just the way we think. It's your value systems. It's what do you believe, what's possible, what's not possible. Those are the infirmities. The new nature helps us with those. But it says here, likewise, in the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps us in all those areas. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And the main reason I understand, you don't know what's wrong with you. See, when you remember Matthew 17, I'm not going to have you turn there. You know it too well. That guy brought his lunatic son, and they prayed and they did everything they knew to do, and the boy was not healed. And the father's complaining, basically said, "I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." Well, there's the church. I brought my waterhead baby to the church, And they could not heal my waterhead baby. Jesus, they're going, you know, if the story ended right there, there might be some justification. Well, see there, it's just not God's will to heal all the time. But Jesus is the will of God with legs. He's there so you can see what the will of God is. And he says, you bring that boy here to me. And you know what he did? He cast the devil out of that boy, and the boy was healed. Then the disciples asked him, why didn't it happen when we prayed? Jesus didn't say, because that's some kind of big, nasty devil. No, he said, it's because of your unbelief. And like Dave said, it's a kind of unbelief you don't even realize that you have. You know, intellectually, you think, oh, I believe it. The works, see, I got it right here. The works that you do, shall I do also? Yeah, the works that you did, Jesus, shall I do also in greater works than these? I got it. Let's go do it. So you go do it and they die. And you go, what? Well, it's a kind of unbelief you don't even know you have. They didn't know they had it. Otherwise, why would they ask? Why didn't it happen when we prayed? You can back up in that same chapter, that same book, rather, in Matthew. You'll find out they've already been casting out devils. They've already been healing the sick. I mean, it's not like they don't know how to do it. But they couldn't do it with this one. He said, it's because of your unbelief. Now, what is the cure? He says, what is the cure? This kind cometh not out. Now, this kind of what? This kind of big, nasty devil? No, he didn't say that was the problem. He said the unbelief was the problem. This kind of unbelief cometh not out except by what? Prayer and fasting. Have y'all ever heard a church that teaches on those things? Prayer and fasting. One way you could say it's driving out unbelief. Another way you could say it's driving out every thought pattern and all of the emotions and things like that in us that aren't like Him. See, because that's what He's saying here. He says, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what's wrong with us. We don't know why we are the way we are. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. Well, why can't they be uttered in your articulate language? You don't know what's wrong with you. He just got through telling you. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So now he's talking about praying in other tongues, prayers that you cannot utter in your articulate speech. The Spirit will make intercession for you while you're doing that. And while you're doing that, that's when verse 28 comes in. While you're praying in other tongues, you can know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? He tells you in verse 29. This is God's purpose. This is what the gospel is all about. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Don't get hung up with that word. That word really means He made a decision from the foundations of the world that He is not going to repent from now. He already made this decision. Not going to change His mind. That we would be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the purpose of God with His whole gospel. Man was made in God's image. Man originally, Adam, was made in the image of God. Three times it tells you in that one chapter, him in the image of God made he them, in the image of God made he them. I mean, it's over and over he's telling you, God made man in His image. But when man fell, he's not in that image anymore. He's all twisted up with sin and all kinds of problems. Well, the gospel is to start first rebirthing you with a spirit on the inside of you that is created from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness. And that is in the image of God. But that soul that we have you noticed? Carried over all kinds of wrong thinking and wrong believing and false doctrine from those years before. And it's the soul of man that has to be renewed. And that's what Romans 12:2 is telling you. It says, don't be conformed to the... That's written to church people. He said, church people, don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed, there's that metamorpho, by the renewing of your mind. But it's more than just knowledge. Every time you look up that word metamorphosis in all the English ones, English dictionaries, they always have to eventually go back to the caterpillar and the butterfly, because it's the best illustration that there is. See, the thing I notice about a caterpillar, it's earthbound, and there's the church. But once that metamorphosis happens, I mean, they're not earthbound anymore. That's exactly what's happened to us. He is conforming us, in our soul especially, to the image of His Son. We'll think like Him. Our value systems will be the same as His. What's possible will be what He thinks is possible. Can't be bought by money. Can't be bought with Miss Goodlooking or Mrs. Goodlooking. Or Mr. Goodlooking. We won't leave you women out. Fame, fortune, none of that matters. I must be about my Father's business. The purpose of God with this gospel is that all of us be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's as simple as a seed. You know, He said of Himself, if a seed abides alone, it's just one. But if a seed is placed into the ground and dies, then it bears much fruit. I remember my driving the truck days, and I'd drive across Oklahoma and Illinois and Indiana during harvest season. I mean, for miles and miles, there's that corn or wheat, whatever it was to be harvested. We all know how that works. You plant one. You'll never see a plant where you plant one seed, and when that plant grows to full harvest, it only produces one seed. That's not the way God works. God plants one seed, and when that plant comes to maturity, there's a whole bunch of seeds, and every seed is able to do what the first seed did. There's the gospel. That is it. There it is. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. And that's what He's doing us, is conforming us to the image of that first seed. And Jesus in John 14 is saying, just like any other seed would say, when this process is finished, if you can believe on Me, just like He said, He says, the works that I do, you're going to do also. We don't think that's miraculous when it comes to corn. We don't think it's miraculous when it comes to wheat or any other seed. We only think it's just, you know, not possible when it comes to Christians. But the gospel is no more complicated than that. He is actually conforming us to that same image. One more witness, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Y'all are all going, we know this, Gary. It is good that you be put in remembrance of these things. Okay? See, I'll just tell you what I expect. My expector's going up all the time. I expect Donner or Gary or Kim or Michael or who do I not know? I don't know your names back there. I can't see you real well. Seeds created in the image of God. Could be them. They do this message, let God's purpose happen. Could be my friend here. Could be male, female, doesn't matter. You got the same inheritance. What I expect someday is God to send one of us or some of us to Oshawa. And it'd be a whole different meeting than what I just had up there. And I mean the kind that is going to... It'll be like it was said of old. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. And I mean they're going to come into town in the name of Jesus. First thing they're going to do is find the sick. And just like those five scriptures, just like those five meetings there, you start getting them healed by the hundreds. The news cameras are going to show up. You don't have to promote your revival. You try and keep people from coming when the real Jesus shows up. When the real Jesus is allowed to show up. When that seed has been produced. When we have been transformed to where, just like the corn seed, every seed able to do what the original did. I don't know how many people we got in here tonight. What if He could take each one of us, send us to a different city around the world, and have those five verses come to pass? You got a worldwide revival going on now. And it would not take long. You could have millions and millions of people swept into the kingdom, especially with media that we have now, because it'd be spreading around the world faster than you can get there. That is the purpose of God. That is why you're in this church, and that's why the devil keeps doing his best to beat your cotton-picking brains out. Can I say that in church? That's why he's doing it. Everything in the world, whatever will work, you know. Well, some people, it's a fence. They don't like me here. Well, If that's enough to run you off. He does not care what runs you off as long as... And he does. It's not so much just... It's the message he's trying to separate you from. Well, what are we going to do, church? Yes, sir. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. I told you a while ago, you got to be dead to money. You got to be... I'll tell you another one. You got to be dead to man's applause. Okay? Jesus said, how can... If what you're after is the glory of man, he said, what you should be after is just the glory that comes from God alone. All you really need is your donkey pat. Y'all know what I mean by that? I'm just a donkey he rides in on. If I get my donkey pat from him, that's really all I need if nobody else liked me at all. Long as he says, okay, you did what I told you, that's all I really need. That's got to be your life. See? But you got to, I'll tell you the other thing you got to have, and that's hunger. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you right now, is this Wednesday? It's Wednesday. See, on Wednesday night, you're a different breed. You're here on Wednesday night. I'll tell you right now, and I know that you're aspiring towards ministry. I know that. Some of you are already in ministry. I'll tell you the big trap. I'll tell you right now, getting too busy to continue doing this message. And that, I have found, is the biggest trap of them all. You start getting used at all? Yes, sir. I could spend 4 hours tomorrow. I already have invitations. I've had invitations for years that I've been saying no to because he wouldn't let me go. You know, I could get on the phone in about 4 hours. I could probably book the next 52 weeks. I could be gone all 52 weeks. That is not the will of God. At least not at my stage right now. Might be someday. I hope not, to be honest. But I will if that's what he wants. You know? Once you start... How do I say that? I haven't said it yet. See, because what you want is to serve him. You want ministry. Once you start getting some of that, it feeds accomplishment in you. There's something so gratifying. I love it when the readers of the world get healed. I want to see the next one get healed. See? And so the tendency, because, man, okay, finally. And it feeds everything in you. But if you stop right there, if your growth stops, then that's where your anointing level is going to stop too. And what about the cases that you have to leave town and you left them in the wheelchair? Or you left them in the hospital bed? What about those? So I'm just warning you, once you start getting used and your ministry starts happening at all, the big danger, you'll watch your prayer life slip away. And he'll still use you. You can go on like that and go on to be with Jesus in heaven and get a reward. But he's going to have to, like he told me that time, he may have to draw back a curtain and show you what could have been had you continued doing the message. So, as for me, I think I'm going to get... How do I say this? I like you. I like fellowship as much as the next person. I like what happened. I can see that he's going to send us out, you know, but I'm still hungry. So I think I'm going to get meaner about my prayer life. Can I say it that way? You know what I mean by that? I can't answer the phone right now. You know, I found out there's an amazing thing. Phones have an off switch. Email has an off switch and just off. And you can go pray. Television has an off switch. I mean, we live in such an age now. I mean, it's good in many ways, but you can be doing good things your whole waking hours, and at the end of the day, you're about to lay your head on the pillow and you go, wasn't I going to pray? Wasn't I going to spend some time in the Word today? Wasn't I going to? And it was all good stuff. You didn't do anything bad. You didn't go to the bar. You didn't do any cussing. You didn't do anything bad. It was all good. But none of it was transforming. I am excited to see things happening. But I expect to see a lot more than this. It's really just enough to really whet my appetite again. So, rather than letting the enemy beat you up and run you off, why don't you do just the opposite of what he's expecting? Just dig in even harder. I will tell you this, and I probably will close here. If you don't schedule your prayer life, people ask me all the time, and of course they get mad at this, and some of them leave because you're too legalistic now. Gary, do you schedule your prayer life? Let me ask you, do you schedule your doctor appointments? Is it important for you to see that doctor? You think you're going to get help when you see him? Yeah. I don't just drop by the doctors and say, no, I schedule my prayer life. Now, be honest with you, I've kind of slipped on that in the last year or two. Why? I'll use the excuse of ministry in whatever form you want to put that. Answering emails, talking on the phone, counseling. We're still going to do all those things, but I'm going to go back to the days of carving me out a certain amount of hours of prayer, and you're not going to be able to reach me. And my kids are not going to be able to reach me. I love what I saw in Canada. I loved it. But it's not what I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've got my sights set higher. Let's go in there and let him finish that transformation process. Let's become the seeds that can produce the same as the original. That's what he said.